Well, good evening. And welcome to Torrance First. Though I have to tell you, if the choir, like I consider is kind of like my linebackers if I'm the quarterback, that helped me be able to do my job, I really feel like I just went from high school football to like the Denver Broncos, because this is like Denver Bronco line back here. What an amazing sound. Thank you all for being here for this night of worship and meditation. But with that, will you join me in prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So shout out. Don't hold back and lift your voice like a trumpet. To me, this sounds like it's good news coming. It really sounds like a great proclamation is coming. You know, trumpets sound when the race is beginning and the excitement is there. Trumpets sound when the parade is coming. Trumpets sound when royalty is here. I mean, here is the thing of good news. But here we look at Isaiah 58, and we don't even leave verse 1 that says these trumpets are sounding before we find out that these trumpets are not trumpets of good news, but these are the trumpets that are playing taps for the last time at the funeral, because Israel is about to receive their judgment. Here, the house of Jacob, they have been sinful in the eyes of God. They have been disobedient, and moreover, they have done this in believing that they have been righteous in what they are doing. Here they believe that they are praising of God. Here they believe it, but they stood before the Lord, fasting and wearing of sackcloth in the way that God required, but their actions, we see, were merely superficial. While their stomachs and their attire showed them to be spiritually centered, their hearts were telling a much different story. What appeared to be humility was actually an act to be seen and recognized by God that led to quarreling and fighting amongst them, instead of an act that was in sync with God and God's will. So God, well, what does he do? But God tells the house of Jacob exactly as it is, and he tells them exactly what he wants. God desires a spiritual fasting that's just not an act of self-denial, but God is desiring an action that is nothing less than life-giving. God seeks an action that breaks the chains of injustice, an action that lives the call to seek a world where hunger and homelessness are only seen in the history books. But that sounds like a mighty tall order that God is giving at this point. And we, well, let's face it, we're just mere human beings, are we not? We look in the mirror each day, trying to dress this mortal flesh as best we can in hopes that people won't see exactly who we really are, right? We primp, we prep, we trim, we dress, we cover, we brush, we make up, and we wipe away our mortality on a daily basis, do we not? But in the end of it all, we are still mortal flesh. And we, let's face it, have an expiration date stamped on each one of us. On this flesh that we work so hard to keep up and take care of. Every wrinkle, every gray hair, every ache, every pain is just a reminder that we will not live forever, and age is something that cannot be reversed, no matter how hard medical research tries. But guess what? That's the ashes of our lives, isn't it? It's the ashes that we live in, and we slowly lose ourselves in the selves in the stage of life and just see those ashes building. We lose jobs, we lose loved ones, we lose independence, we lose the things that we love and value in this earth, slowly but surely. And it all just becomes ash. We have those ashes we carry with us, and when we look in the mirror, we are reminded of them, as we look at ourselves in the eye and have to face our reality. But that's the trouble I see. The amount of time that we spend in front of the mirror looking at the reflection of ourselves versus the amount of the time we spend looking at the inside of what we truly are. What would happen if we had a mirror in our bathroom that showed the state of our spiritual hearts instead of the state of the makeup on our face or the mess of our hair? Would we be as quick to give ourselves a makeover before we walked out of the house trying to make ourselves presentable to other people if it was our hearts that we were looking at? Friends, are we any different than the Israelites who complained that God was not seeing and acknowledging their fasting and their attempts at living right? Ash Wednesday tonight, it's the day we face our mortality head on with God and make the commitment to discipline ourselves for 40 days with a willingness to begin it wearing ashes on our heads, our sins and our failures right there on our foreheads for all to see. But what purpose is all of this? I saw one Facebook post today. One Facebook post of a, quote, friend, because that's what we have on Facebook is all these friends. It's one of those. I don't think I've talked to her in a year, but we're friends, right? Anyway, so she proclaimed for the world to know, here's my day that I begin 40 days without, and she began the list. And she said, I can't wait because I have some weight I need to lose. Well, you know what? I commend her for her desire to be healthier for herself and for her kids, but I had to think, is that really the point of Lenten discipleship? To look a little bit better or to get a little bit healthier? And I thought, it can't be. You see, Lenten disciplines aren't intended to be a deprivation of the flesh for fleshly gain. Spiritual disciplines are intended to be a renewal of the spirit, the ways that we draw closer to our God and our neighbor in Christian love. So how do we spend the next 40 days transforming our mortal flesh from earthly vessels with a limited lifespan to vessels of God's love that will not perish but be imperishable? Isn't that exactly what Isaiah was trying to tell us in our text this evening, when he proclaimed the need for acts of service and compassion? In this way, our Lenten discipline actually takes a dual purpose if you think about it. First, it becomes a time for cleaning out our spiritual closets. And, well, realistically, I don't know about closets, because to me, closets, you just keep shoving stuff in them and pray that it keeps having enough room. And so far in my many years of life, I've been successful, but it's another story if you talk to anybody that's been in my office, okay? That's my choir. They laugh. My office definitely tells the seasons of the church as more and more stuff continually comes in as seasons get busier, and it multiplies, I tell you. Until one day I just can't take it anymore, or somebody's coming in to visit my office and I'm too embarrassed for them to see how it is, and so the quick cleanup begins. And my floor is once again seen, and my desk is once again seen, and it's like hitting the reset button to the way that it's supposed to be. But then very quickly, life gains its speed again, and again the debris of ministry just begins to build, because that's what it is. It's the debris of ministry, the leftovers from everything, just get dumped in the pastor's office. Just me, or is this the case? They're all nodding their heads. I'm glad to see that. But our Lenten journey is just like that. It goes through these seasons where the debris of life builds in our hearts, in our spirits, and in our souls. And we need those seasons to come where we do that clean out, where we say, it's getting too much. I need to hit that reset button with God. And that's what Lent is able to be. When we face that debris, when we face those ashes of our faith and say, these I don't want to drag anymore. I'm ready to give them to God. I'm ready to be disciplined in cleaning them out and leaving them behind forever. So once again, we get to that space But while we're in that space, we have the ability to become aware in that cleaning time of the needs around us and the connection with our God that can empower us to do something about the problems that we see. So what if we turned our mirrors into windows during Lent? What if we took our time looking at the state of our neighbors instead of the state of our outward appearance? I believe Isaiah tells us what's going to happen. In verse 8, he says, "Our light will break forth like the dawn, and our healing will spring up quickly." Continuing in verse 11, he says, "The Lord will guide us continually and satisfy our needs in parched places and make us strong." You see, our positive attitude and our charitable actions are our ways to shine and excel from the inside out. And God says, while you're providing for the needs of others, don't worry, I will provide for you. So let our ashes today not be a mark of our sorrow, not a mark of our shame, or a mark of our limited days upon this earth. But let our ashes be a sign that our God works through the damaged, through the dirt and through the dust of this earth. That our God is victorious in the midst of our smudge-filled lives because what Christ has done for us upon the cross. That he desires to clothe us in righteousness for our sake and for the world around us that needs our hearts and hands to rebuild the kingdom here on earth. My friends, will you pray with me? God of all might and of all mercy, we come into this place dragging the ashes of our lives. Those places we've been, those things that we've done, those thoughts that we've had that we regret and we desire to repent of. Those ways that we have been disobedient, those ways that we have not loved to the fullness that you desire for us to love. But here as we gather in your house, connected as one magnificent body of Christ, we pray that this be the start of our journey together, that this be the start of our times of cleansing our hearts, renewing our spirits, and refocusing our lens back on you. We pray that you help us to turn our mirrors into windows, to focus less on our appearance and looking right for people and more of a purpose of acting right for you. For we know that a better world is possible, and it begins right here with each one of us as we join our hearts together in this Lenten journey with you. May you be the one that empowers us, sustains us, guides us, and mercifully loves us through all of it. For this we pray in your most holy name. Amen.